We're part two of a series called Transformed. Transformed. The purpose of this series is to examine the way we think, because your life will follow the direction of your thinking. Your thoughts matter. Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, the way you think determines your identity.
Right.
You are what you think. And the whole foundation for this series is Romans 12:1-2. And last week we looked at the first part of that where it says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Our whole outlook on life should be in view of God's mercy. You get into trouble when you forget God's mercy. You get mean when you forget about God's mercy. You get selfish when you lose sight of God's mercy. All of us need to be reminded of the hole that God drug us out of. Amen? Can I get a thumbs up, somebody? If you remind yourself of God's mercy for you, it helps you show mercy to other people. So that was our starting point, and today we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. Let's look at verse 2, Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. King James says it like this, be not conformed to this world. So we as believers cannot live like the sinful world around us. Hello. We will never fulfill God's purpose for the church if we're blending in with the world. So tell somebody, don't blend in. And if you're home alone, tell yourself, don't blend in. Listen to what Jesus said in John 17. He said, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Jesus is talking to the Father. But that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Because your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may be sanctified by the truth. That's an amazing prayer. Jesus could have prayed, Father, take them out of the world. But Jesus didn't pray that, did he?
Right.
In fact, Jesus said, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Why? Because we are the light of the world. We are a city on a hill. We are the light that shines in the darkness. Even as our media team is trying to get more light in the room. We are the light of the world. The church is the hope of the world. We have the word of life. We have the message of hope, the good news of the gospel. God doesn't want us to be out of this world. He wants us to bring hope to this world. Amen. And as the people of God, it is our duty, it is our purpose, it is our mission, it is our calling, our God-given destiny to tell the world that Jesus saves. We have hope in Jesus. There is still a cross that bleeds, a king who redeems. There is still help for today and hope for tomorrow, and his name is Jesus Christ. So somebody say or tweet or post something. Tell somebody Jesus saves. God put us on the earth to make a difference, but you will never make a difference until you live differently. You'll never make a difference in the world if you're living like the world. There are no undercover Christians. God is calling us to be different. Now listen, I'm not talking about being weird. Amen. There is nothing spiritual about being strange. Okay, we're here to win people, not weird them out. I know some church people that would be weird if they weren't saved. Come on, y'all. So as Christians, God hasn't called us to be weirdos. He's just called us to live by a different set of values than the culture around us. Thomas Jefferson said this, in matters of style, swim with the current. But in matters of principle, stand like a rock. Bible says that we are sanctified by the truth. What does that word sanctify mean? We don't really use that much in our culture today. I'll give you an illustration. Let's say that we all had a bunch of bottles of water. And let's say that I open this one up and I drink out of it. Maybe even lick the top of it. Come on, just to gross everybody out. What did I do? I just sanctified that bottle of water. Ain't nobody going to touch that because I drank out of it and licked it. That is so disgusting, but I sanctified it. I marked it. It belongs to me. It belongs to me. And the Bible says that we're sanctified by the truth of God's word. When you're sanctified by God, God has marked you and said, this one is mine. He belongs to me. She belongs to me. Listen, once you've experienced the goodness of God, once you've been sanctified by God, you'll never be happy living in the world. You can try all you want, but you'll never be happy in the world again. Why? Because God has messed you up. He sanctified you. He marked you. And no matter how hard you try to party, you'll never really fit in with the world. You can try it. You can try to live like everybody else, but you'll be the most miserable person on earth because you know that God has better for you. You know that God has destined you for greater things. Listen to what the Word of God says, calling us in 2 Corinthians 6:17. He's saying, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God is calling us to be different. He's calling us to live a sanctified life. He's calling us to be holy. The problem is that most people who do go to church aren't any different than people who don't go to church. And that's not the way it ought to be. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, what fellowship has darkness with light? 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. A recent national survey by the Barna Group found that of all the people who claim to be committed Christians, less than 20% live a lifestyle different from the world around them. That's the problem, but what's the solution? The Bible tells us right here in Romans 12:2, stop thinking like the world thinks. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We may be in Rome, but we can't do as the Romans do. We can't have the same values and morals that the world has. The problem for most people is that their thinking is governed by the world when it should be governed by the Word. So why aren't we doing the things that God has called us to do? And I'll tell you why. The doing will never be right until the thinking is right. Our thinking has brought us to where we are today, and our thinking will take us to where we will be tomorrow. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The way you think will determine your destiny. That's why we as believers have to renew our minds so that we don't get entangled in the trap of this world. The doing won't be right until the thinking is right. You wonder why you can't live right. It's because you got a filthy mind. Amen. Come on. I wish I had a room full of people to shout this morning, but I'm going to say it anyway. Here's one of the basic laws of computing. Garbage in,
garbage out.
Y'all know it already. In other words, if you put wrong data into the system, you're going to get wrong results. And that law of computing applies to your life. Do you know that the most highly advanced computer known to man is sitting inside of your head right now? Your mind is an amazing thing. It is the world's most complex computer. And here's the deal. You put garbage into your mind, you're going to get garbage out of your mind. Come on, somebody say, garbage in.
Garbage in.
Garbage out.
Garbage out.
Your thinking process and the decisions you make are a direct result of the data you put into the system.
Right.
And when you put worldliness in, you're going to get worldliness out. But if you put godliness in, you're going to get godliness out. It's that simple. If you don't want to be like the world, you got to stop thinking like the world thinks. The things you put into your mind will come out in the way you live your life. There's something that my wife and I heard growing up. We were taught this. This was ingrained in our memory. Worldly in, worldly out, godly in, godly out. In fact, y'all say that with me. Worldly in,
worldly,
in.
Worldly out,
godly in,
godly out.
Godly out. So if you're not renewing your mind, you're thinking like the world because something's going in there.
Right.
Something's going in that head of yours. If you're not feeding yourself on the Word of God, the filth of the world will come in. Hello. Bible says in Romans 8, 7 that the carnal mind is enmity against God. You know what that means? That the worldly thinking is the enemy of God. If we don't renew our mind without even realizing, instead of working with Jesus, we work against him. In Matthew 16, Jesus told his disciples, he said, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to lay down my life. And Peter jumps up and says, never, this will never happen to you. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 16, 23. He turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, not today, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Peter was here trying to keep Jesus from going to the cross. And Jesus said, your problem is the way you think. You're not thinking the thoughts of God. You see, Peter was on the wrong side and he didn't even realize it. When we fail to renew our minds with the Word of God, we could end up working against Jesus and against the church and not even be aware. So how do we develop a godly way of thinking? How do we renew our minds? It's as simple as this, and I'm almost done. It's as easy as ABC, okay? A, apply the Word of God. Psalm 119, how can a person keep his way pure? By living according to your Word. Instead of looking at what Instagram and Oprah say, you need to see what the Bible says about it. Why are so many Christians falling apart? I'll tell you why, because they're listening to Hollywood more than the Holy Spirit. They spend more time on Facebook than the faith book. Hello. The Word of God is life to us. We desperately need the Word of God because it is our only guide for living. You should feed your spirit just as often as you feed your body, because one little Bible story on Sunday morning is not enough. Oh, I'm going to meddling now in your house. Come on, we ought to daily fill our minds with the Word of God. So how do we renew our minds? ABC, A, apply the Word. B is be around other believers. Well, at least within 6 feet of other believers right now. I know this is a hard one, but at a time like this, but really, who are you spending your time with? Because you are who you hang around. This could change somebody's life right there. If you don't listen to anything else, this could change your life. Because the people you spend time around have an enormous influence on who you are as a person. Right. You can't expect to soar like the eagles when all you do is scratch dirt with the chickens. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bible is saying to us, don't be fooled because you are who you hang around. Amen. You should be around people who challenge you to grow, who challenge you to be stronger in your faith. Somebody put it to me like this one time. If you're the smartest person you know, that's not good. You're in trouble, my friend. People who spend a lot of time around negative people end up being negative people. If all you hang around is poor people, you'll probably end up poor. Amen. If all you spend your time with is ignorant people, well, you do the math. Listen to this. Proverbs 13, 20, the Bible says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Wrong relationships aren't just bad for you, they are destructive. So surround yourself with the right people. People who challenge you to be more like Jesus and less like the world. People who strengthen your faith, who fuel your strengths, not your weaknesses. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. ABCs, I told you, I'm almost done. A, apply the Word. B is be around other believers. And C, cut out wrong influences. Listen, as an adult, there are a lot of things you can listen to, and there are a lot of things you can watch, but just because you can doesn't mean you should. Right. It's time to take inventory and ask yourself, what kind of influence is this having on me? Is this making me stronger as a Christian, or is this making me weaker as a Christian? Remember, garbage in, garbage out. If you feed your mind a constant supply of worldliness, guess what you're going to produce in your life? Worldliness.
Right.
What you look at and what you listen to will have an impact on the way you think. So cut out the junk. So tell somebody, type to somebody, email somebody, text somebody, tell them, cut out the junk. So how do we renew our minds? A, apply the word. B, be around other believers. C, cut out wrong influences. All right, everybody okay? So a constant flow of God's word, constantly surrounding ourselves with godly people, and by eliminating ungodly influences. Now we're closing our online service. I want to ask my wife to come and lead us in a time of prayer and minister to those who need hope in their life today.
Wasn't that a good word? Let's get a thumbs up about renewing our mind. Hearts, likes, if that was a word that ministered to you today. Because I know in the times that we are in, that because if you're constantly watching the news, if you're constantly filling your mind with all the negativity that we hear, that you just begin to think negatively. The world's coming to an end. This is the apocalypse we've been hearing about. The world's not coming to an end. Renew your mind. Put more God in your mind during this time. Turn off the news. And just fill your mind full of what the word says. And it's good. It's good news. Not bad news. Because we have hope in Jesus. And if you're here today, watching online or all over the world, and you don't know God, I have good news for you. God's real, God is good, and He loves you. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. He created you. He has a purpose and He has a plan for your life. Even today, while we're sitting at home, there's a plan in all of this. And God wants the best for you. Right now, we're just worried about getting infected by COVID-19. But what we need to be focused on is what infection sin has on our life. Because that's real. We face that every day. So when COVID-19 is gone, there's still sin that's real in this world that we need to focus on right now. And the Bible says that in Acts 16:31 is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. So with COVID-19 going on, we know that's going to go away, but sin is still there. And God knew that all this sin in the world was going to be way too much for us to handle. That's why He sent Jesus to pay the price for it, so that we could be forgiven. And right now, if you're unsure of if tomorrow wasn't promised or the next hour wasn't promised, whether or not Jesus is the Savior of your life, I'm going to give you the opportunity to be welcomed into the kingdom of God. And all you have to do is believe in your heart and repeat this prayer after me. And you have that promise of tomorrow. So repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe in you. Save me and set me free. Forgive me of my sins. And with your help, I will live for you the rest of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. If you accepted Jesus today, or if you recommitted your life to Him, we want to know about it. Email us at mel@gc.life. Send us a Facebook message. If you have prayer, that you're in a desperate situation, email us, fill out your red cards online. There's an easy way for you to have access to Josh and I and use it. We've missed the red cards. We've missed knowing who committed their life to Christ. We've missed being able to have that follow-up to make sure that you know the next step after you committed your life to Christ. So fill out those red cards. Email us, send in prayer requests, because we're praying over you. We're praying over our church family. And whether you attend this church on a regular basis or you're tuning in online, you're our family. And we want to know what's going on in your life. So send us that contact information. And right now, I just want to pray over everybody that's watching, whether you're live right now or whether you're going to tune in hours later or throughout the week. I want to pray because we are in uncertain times, but we have the hope of Christ. And I want us to pray to renew our minds. So right now, where we're at, I want you to close your eyes and join in and know that there's no distance in prayer. That where you are in your home, God is there. So Lord, we just thank you for today. God, I thank you for the opportunity to come together. Lord, that even though we're not joined together in body and in this building, that we're joined together all across America. And right now, we gather together where two or more agree. And God, I thank you for every salvation that came to you today, Father, for every person that their life was touched. And Lord, right now, I just